Thank you and good morning. We'll open with invocation by Member Owens, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together where we can gather and govern the citizens of McLean County. Thank you for all you've given to our county and the rich farmland. We just look forward to the harvest in the next coming months. We just again thank you for all that you've done. We also pray for those members that are not here today, whether they be ill or traveling. Give them safety. Again, we thank you for this community. Grant us wisdom as we deliberate the issues today and as we go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Ahart, Bagot, Bostic,
here.
Butler,
here.
Kaisley, Cavallini,
here.
Clark,
here.
Dean,
present.
Gordon,
present.
Harding,
here.
Hasselton,
here.
Moss,
present.
Knuckles,
here.
Owens,
present.
Rakowskis,
here.
Renner,
here.
Segabiano,
here.
Selzer,
here.
Wendt,
present.
Sorensen,
present. Thank you. We have a quorum. There are no requests for members of the public or county employees. We have the consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from consent?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull off the reappointments to the Lance Cemetery District.
Okay, the six reappointments to the Lance Cemetery District, all of them?
Please.
Okay. Anything else to be removed from consent agenda?
Yes.
Member Koskis?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be noted that I'm abstaining from voting on E1A.
So noted. Member Koskis is voting present on E1A. Anything else to be removed from consent? Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended?
So
Member Gordon, second Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Standing committees, Executive Committee Chairman or Vice Chairman Selzer, and please take the appointments under exec as well.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm getting feedback. Is this just because you don't want me to talk today?
If you don't mind.
So I can record it. First of all, there's six appointments to the Lance Cemetery District, and I would move those and then ask for discussion.
Been moved and seconded. The six appointments, the Lance Cemetery Subdistrict, as removed from the consent. Questions, comments, or discussion, Member Selzer?
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I would hope that I don't know if it's their rules or our rules, but all of their terms, there's there's seven members to that district. There's six that we're reappointing, and there's one vacancy on that district. They all expire at the same time, and I would just like to us either send them a letter to look at their bylaws or look at ours to suggest that they don't have all their terms expire at one time. I just don't think that's good for succession planning or for longevity of the district. So
we can certainly do that. My guess is it's probably actually in their original charter and bylaws that set it up that way, but that doesn't mean they can't change it.
Right, and it's just a suggestion that they do that.
Other questions, comments, Diane?
I agree, but that's my whole point. If they all decide the same time they're done, then the whole cemetery's done. So
your recommendation
just
is simply
recommendation
that we approach
that we
them,
them
and consider necessary,
change
necessary
their
changes to I apologize for the sound issues. Okay. So we've got a motion and a second to approve. Member Bostic?
A lot of these little cemeteries throughout the county are controlled under a board
those boards pass on and don't function, and the cemetery needs guidance in that, it falls back on the township supervisor and the board of trustees. So there's another plan in place.
Okay, great. Any other questions, comments, or discussion? The question is the reappointment of the six trustees of the Lent Cemetery District. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Vice Chairman Sullivan.
The other item for action we have is request approval of a resolution to amend the rules of the County Board, McLean County Subcommittee. They're on pages 33 and 34, and the changes are underlined, and I would so move them.
We have a motion, Selzer, second Owens, to recommend the amendments to the rules of the McLean County Board. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Our general report will be found on pages 35 through 42, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Are there any questions of Vice Chairman Selzer? None heard. Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
The Justice Committee brings several items for action. I'd like to actually group items B1A and B together. Request approval of a domestic violence multidisciplinary team grant extension of $76,386 for the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority for fiscal year 08-09 in the State's Attorney's Office, and request approval of a domestic violence multidisciplinary grant of $50,923 in court services, and I so move it.
A motion, Renner, second Harding. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And we have item B1C, request approval of a renewal of an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Bloomington, the County of McLean, and the Town of Normal, regulating the use of by the County of McLean and the Town of Normal of the police shooting range facility in the City of Bloomington in the Sheriff's Department. And I so move it.
We have a motion, Renner, second Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And item B1D is request approval of an intergovernmental agreement between McLean County Sheriff's Office and the Olympia School District for a school resource officer, and I so move that.
We have a motion, Renner, second Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And item B1E, Groundhog Day. Yeah. Request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board increasing the filing fee in all civil cases to fund the neutral site custody exchange program of the Family Visitation Center, and I so move that.
We have a motion, Renner. Second, Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Selzer.
Mr. Chairman, I know that this was brought back after further discussion and report by Justice, and I think they've done a good job. I still have a couple of just questions or concerns. First of all, while the rules don't require us for professional services, and one could argue that this is a professional service, to go out for bid, I question if it was looked at for anybody else to provide this service. This is going to raise $80,000 with this fee. My question is can the Sheriff's Department, have we talked to them at all about providing the staffing for this visitation center, and why was the Children's Foundation chosen over other entities that may or may not be able to provide this service, because it's not being provided by ours? And then I still have a fundamental concern just about how we're funding it. If it's really a needed service for all the people in McLean County, then I think we ought to pony into the general fund rather than tack on another fee. So my concern is, though, are we going out to bid for these kinds of services, or is it just the incumbent gets the business?
On the substantive point, my understanding is that it was the Children's Foundation that got the initial grant, and they provided the service. And I think the more times, again, other people on Justice can speak to this, the more times we went back, the more we realized the unique and special nature of what they do at this particular facility. And actually, the judges back in April had voted to support this unanimously, and I'd asked Judge Robb to come to speak to us precisely why that's unusual. And in terms of the filing fees, just to call everyone's attention.
Clarify, Mr. Ryan, just so you know, it's not the question of whether or not the service isn't needed. I don't have a question about whether or not we should provide the service. My question just is clarification of why the Children's Foundation, and have we in fact looked at other organizations, including our own, to provide the same service where we might have more flexibility with ours if we had deputies doing this or other things?
And right.
I just don't know if it was looked at.
Judge Robb can speak to as well. And then just if I might call your attention to the memo on your everyone's place, you may not have had a chance to take a look at it, and it does clarify, Mr. Zinnick prepared this and the staff, about the fees, and then they're specifically listed. The one thing that I think the committee was surprised at when we went through this is that virtually all of the fees are state mandated fees. The specific fees for civil cases that we as a board have added are confined pretty much to paragraph 2, so they would include the board approved a $5 fee to support the children's waiting room and $10 for the law library, and I'm missing one here. I don't have my reading glasses, but there are the three fees. Yeah, in paragraph 2, they're summarized. So again, when Member Kaisley had brought the very, very thick book of fees, virtually all of those are mandated by Springfield. It's the state of Illinois that's doing that. This particular board has added three. That doesn't certainly mean that we should add this one, but that helps put this into clearer perspective, I think. And if we could have Judge Robb come up, and maybe she can answer some of the questions, I think, in giving her perspective. Judge? Up to the podium.
Testing 1-2.
Thank you. Okay, I'll just yell.
Thank you
for the opportunity to speak to the issue today, and Member Seltzer, I'd like to answer your questions with regard to why there was only one agency that it was not placed for bid. In 1998, after a number of years, the judges had for several years previous to 98 been seeking a social service agency to provide services such as the ones that are being provided now by the Children's Foundation. And at that time, that was the only agency that was interested in seeking grant funding to provide the services to the court. And when that agency did obtain that funding, they actually modified their building in order to provide. Now there are two visitation rooms. They have separate entrances, at least two, and I know Ms. Kelly and Ms. Piper are here, and they can speak more specifically to the modifications done to the building. But the way that the modifications were done, it enables a parent who's bringing a child to the site for a visitation to enter through one door, and then the parent who is coming for the visitation to enter through another door. There are security cameras that are now in place. A lot of security measures were taken. There's a one-way window mirror, so there's an opportunity when there is an actual visitation going on at the site. One of the members, the staff members at the Children's Foundation can observe the visitation to see how the interactions are between the child and the parent. So, part of that was that they invested with the grant funding, some significant dollars to set up a visitation site that is secured for the family and the children, and a proper place for children to actually visit with their parent, who is the non-custodial parent. For a number of years, the Children's Foundation has been fortunate enough to receive federal funding for this neutral site visitation exchange facility, and when the funding was looks as though it's not going to be continuing, that's when the Children's Foundation came to the judges back in February or March to ask the judges if they would support an ordinance, which is allowed by statute, to fund this site. So we view this as a continuing service that's being provided to the court by the Children's Foundation, and that's why no further bids other agencies were sought. With regard to whether other agencies in the county could offer this same service, I know Sheriff Emery is here, but I think I can speak for him in speculating that I do not believe that sheriff's deputies would be the appropriate persons to be involved in this. This is not just an exchange site. That occurs in some cases, but in more significant situations, this is actually the place where the visitation occurs. And it's for a 2 to 3 hour period. It's supervised, and that occurs because there may be an order of protection, which is in effect between the parents of these children. It may be a situation where there's a very acrimonious divorce going on, and these children need a safe, secure site. The people who observe these visitations are trained in child development. They actually do some counseling for the children and the parents. The goal is to move these families out of the visitation site so that other families can use that. But during the period that they're there, they are observing, they are counseling, they write written reports to the court that the court uses in determining whether the visitation should be expanded or moved out of the site. And while we have very experienced deputies, I don't think many of them have those types of skills. And so it is much more sophisticated insofar as just, it's not a place where children are only exchanged. And like I said, I think you could probably ask Sheriff Emery, but I don't think that he has the facilities or the manpower to be involved in this type of an exchange. And frankly, the judges, and if you go around the state, this is a very well-regarded site. Other places in the country and in the state have come here to look at the type of exchange and the type of program that has been established here. It's well-respected. It's intended to be therapeutic for the families going through some very disruptive times in their lives.
Are there any questions for Chief Judge Robb? Chief Judge Robb. Sorry about that. Not heard.
Just a clarification on if you could, on the statute it talks about the first rule shall be made is that all work performed at staff and volunteers shall be performed without collecting a fee or charge from the parties involved in a custody exchange.
Right.
So if you're involved in the custody exchange, you can't pay a fee for any of that. My only question is if there's a fee on any other court cases, does that contradict this? Would we have to exempt, in other words, any court case fees from those parties involved in the actual exchange site? Because then it seems like it would be in conflict if it says you can't charge me a fee, but there is a fee on my court case.
I believe that fee refers to the agency charging a fee for the visitation that is occurring. The fees are charged to the persons who file cases. I think the part of the statute that you're reading is that whatever agency is doing this cannot charge a fee to the families utilizing the service.
Right, and it says that's the county board. So I'm just curious if we're contradicting ourselves by now imposing a fee on those filing cases if they are, in fact, using that center.
I think they're talking about two different types of fees.
Okay.
One is the filing fee. And the other is a fee for the service to use the visitation site.
I just wanted to make sure that we aren't contradicting ourselves, that's all.
I don't believe we are.
Thank you.
Member Wendt?
Yeah, this is probably for Terry, but what I want to know is last year they were charging a fee, or they have a fee schedule or something for these, that one of the parents had to pay.
Right.
Do you have, or Terry, do you have the amount? Because I figured if they collected from everybody, they'd collect about $27,000.
They are not going to collect from everybody.
Well, I know, and I'd like to know what they did collect last year.
Do we remember roughly what that was, John? At the Lisa?
Only 2,000 out of a possible 27? What is the criteria then for a person not have to pay the fee? Is there an income level or what?
Many of these people are.
It's based on income, and most of the families fall below the poverty line. Not all, but a substantial portion.
It's only 2,000 out of
27.
Okay, the second thing I have a question is this federal grant that they're waiting for. How much is that federal grant if it gets approved?
Ms. Kelly, I think, can answer that, or Ms. Piper.
We wrote for $150,000, and we still have not heard back from that grant.
Now, have you contacted Weller's office and Tim Johnson's office to follow up and find out where that grant is?
Yes, we have contacted.
And what are their comments on it? And the other thing that really bothers me about putting this fee on the filing fee is that I think once we put that on, then it exempts these people are causing a problem from ever being charged anything, even if they can afford it. And I think that I'm with the idea, if the county is involved in this, rather than punish the people that need to use the courts, that all the taxpayers in McLean County should share in the cost, and that way we can avoid that part of the statute, and then we can charge those that can afford it a reasonable fee to do this. It bothers me when we exempt people who are causing a problem from any of the cost structure of their actions. And so I would, the way it's set up now, I would vote no on this, but, and another question. I guess what I would look at is if we could put off this until the federal budget, what's October 1st, is it? Or
well,
October
arguably,
31st?
Yes.
When we finally would know for sure whether the grant was there. Because we're looking at enough money in that grant to fund, rather than 30 hours, 60 hours of this service. And I think if we had 60 hours rather than the, that would probably be sufficient for the program.
Okay, Member Rakauskas.
I think I commented at the last meeting, yes, there should be some responsibility, but obviously you can't get blood from a turnip. If you're only collecting 2,000 of those that can pay, that's probably going to continue or get worse. And you have to remember it's the children that's at risk. And you may want the adults to be responsible for their behavior and have to pay since they're the cause of the problem. But who really pays the costs are the children. So we're really advocates for these children is what we are. And they're the innocent victims here. And I think we as a society and a community need to protect them. And that's why I think we need to make a decision today.
The other thing is we've been informed by the Children's Foundation that their closing date is, I have the letter here. We've already been notified that if this doesn't happen, they're gonna have to close. And once we lose the service, it will be very difficult to get it back.
Member Knuckles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly appreciate Member Wynn's comments and his concerns. Betty's right on target. And I'm glad Judge Robb mentioned about the closure, the imminent closure if nothing's done, and how we don't really have the time, the option of time. I have to note that when Chief Judge Robb and Will Scanlon and Lisa Piper, Teresa Kelly, and others came to our last justice meeting, they really provided clear insight into this program, this badly needed program. I don't think there's very few, if any, folks on the board was questioning the need for the program. But there is a clear sophistication of the program. It is a model for others to look at. They have shown patience. They have shown compromise during this period that we are in discussion and deciding what to do. They have already shown compromise by modifying their budget as what it was before. I am full support of the program. I am full support of the fee, and I'm just wishing that we can go on and vote for it.
Member Gordon.
They have done an outstanding job, and they hope they will continue to do so. And I know they will continue to do so.
Thank you. Member Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member Wett is correct that the federal fiscal year begins October 1. It's my understanding that not once in at least the last 25 years have all appropriations bills for that fiscal year that starts October 1 been approved by the Congress. If the closure date is September 30th, we don't have the luxury, as Member Knuckles has said. If things were working closer to a perfect world, October 1 would be the start of the fiscal year, and we would know well ahead whether this grant had been approved or not. On page 87 in our packet, the statement is made. It's in the last full paragraph, I believe the last sentence. If federal grant funds are awarded, consideration should be given to rescinding the filing fee increase or withholding a grant to the FVC, the Family Visitation Center, until federal funds are fully exhausted. That option obviously was considered by the Justice Committee. It is plain black and white for us. It is a logical step if the grant is, in fact, reapproved, or at least some amount of funding. As it is, if as seems possible, maybe even likely, if as seems likely, the federal grant is not approved at all, and no additional funding comes from the Department of Justice, we're talking about a present 84-hour-a-week program being cut to 30. And the Family Visitation Center would then have to start depending on bake sales or what have you. The service is, I think, so critical that if the county does approve the fee, we have at least a base to start from, and hope that if the DOJ, the Department of Justice grant, isn't approved for the coming fiscal year, maybe in the year after, it might be approved. Applications are always welcome. Responses are not always forthcoming. But this is the situation we're in now, and I support the fee as it stands, knowing that it's not going to meet the needs fully as they have been in recent years. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Segoviano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another situation that faces damned if we do and damned if we don't, and I agree with some of Mr. Seltzer's concern, and I wish he had added to maybe a staff member such as the Juvenile Detention Center. I don't know what expertise we have out there, but certainly that area would be worth looking at the Juvenile Detention Center. But Mr. Gordon just brought up an issue I was going to mention, and that is, you know, we do have the right to rescind this if funding becomes available elsewhere. But I think reaching back in my years of service here, and I think John can help me, some of these federal grants have a tendency to get you started. And that's exactly what they do, get you started. And they're usually a three-year grant. I remember, John, the youth service grant that came in at $33,000 a year for 3 years. In the fourth year, we got hit with a budget request of about probably $500,000. And we said, no, thanks, you. And that service is still being provided elsewhere. So we do have the opportunity, you know, to provide funding for this, and we also, as Mr. Gordon just said, have the opportunity to rescind that. I think we just really need to get some answers to the questions that are being raised here today. I'm willing to vote for this, but I'm also willing to take a look-see attitude at this program, how it progresses, where money's coming from, you know, how is it being spent, because I would agree, David, every time we turn around, we're getting a new grant, or we're getting a new administrative staff to come in and provide services. At some point in time, we need to look within as to what structure we can provide to the taxpayers, maybe at a cost savings.
Member Seltzer.
Mr. Chairman, a couple of things. First of all, let me make sure, I feel like I have to do this because it's one of these tough questions. I fully support the center. There is no question that there is a need. But we cannot turn a blind eye to anything that we do. The Children's Foundation is a great organization, and they've said they're going to close this facility. That's their choice if they do. It's not ours. It's their choice. If you look at the publicly filed 994s for the Children's Home and Aid Society, they have three organizations. They have a foundation, they have an oversight organization, and then they have the society itself. Each of which shows excess revenues over expenses last year. $1.3 million on one of them, $300,000 on another, $200,000 on another. As someone in a nonprofit, I wouldn't mind having that excess income over revenue every year. So some of their choices are their choices. So we need to provide a service. We need to find the best way to do it. And furthermore, if this grant comes through after we've started collecting this fee, are they rebating that money to us then? Because it doesn't say that in here. There's a suggestion that we rescind it, but it's not in the ordinance we're passing today. All I'm saying is we just need to be smart about what we're doing. These federal grants are all hanging in limbo. Every single one of them across the nation is hanging in limbo. So let's address the problem at hand. If they have to close by September 30th, then let's grant an extension through the end of the year with the budget cycle and have it come out of the general fund. Before we do something like this, we can fix the problem without, we've done this before to ourselves, and we haven't even done, I don't think, a fair due diligence. And I would just remind the members of what we used to do with our economic block grant developments. They'd come to the Finance Committee with an application. The Finance Committee would sit there as judge, jury, information gatherer. I don't know of anybody here on this board who had a background in credit. And we didn't do that. We changed it where it goes to economic development, to a panel of bankers, to somebody to review that. So we cannot mix the emotion of wanting this center open, which is, we must have, it's a must have for this county. We cannot mix that with how we fund it and who we give our funding to. We talked, what was it, the Challenger Learning Center last week? $25,000 to a nonprofit to help all of the kids in the county. You know, we're going to give $80,000 of money to another nonprofit to help a selected number of kids in the county. Not that they don't need help, and not that we shouldn't do it, but we need to put the appropriate burden where it belongs, I think, and that's to put it into the general fund. In fact, I would like to, if the chair would allow, or I can wait for discussion, and propose a substitute motion that would fund this center on a reimbursement basis from the general fund through the end of the year and have this addressed at the budget cycle.
Why don't you hold off?
I'll be happy to hold it.
Member Knuckles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got to tell you, the questions, concerns are very legitimate, and Member Seltzer just raises another one. But Judge Robb, Chairman Renner, please correct me if I'm wrong. If the funding of the grant is approved, the money will be returned or not accepted?
The money is collected, and then the county will disperse it. So there isn't any money, obviously, yet. So the money has to be collected, and then there has to be a disbursement. I think probably Mr. Zunick could answer better when that occurs.
I'm talking about the grant specifically. If the grant is, because we don't have the grant today. The grant is not approved today. It's on hold. If the grant is approved.
Our understanding was that if the federal grant came through.
They'd increase their hours. The way I understood it was they were going to increase their hours if the federal grant came through.
Yeah, and then it should be in the ordinance if we think there's nothing that says they have to give it back.
I'm going to call us to order and on point. Are there any other speakers on this particular motion? Member Segoviano?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Seltzer just brought a very, very interesting point in regards to the three funds and the surplus. And he mentioned, you know, this is second month in a row that we're funding a nonprofit agency, and I direct one myself, and this might be a lucrative place to come to, but I think, you know, once again, there have been a number of questions raised here today that have not been answered. I know certainly just a reply from the agency, what are they doing with the surplus funds, and what are their intentions with that surplus funds? I think it's a very legitimate question that we ought to at least ask them as to what is the purpose of that fund, and how do they plan on dispersing it as a nonprofit agency?
Okay. Other questions, comments, discussion? With that, I'll revert to Member Seltzer. Well, I'm sorry, Member Owens. I apologize.
No problem. Upon passage today, how soon would the fee be started to be collected?
What's the ordinance say?
September 1st. Okay.
Member Seltzer.
Mr. Chairman, as I said before, I think that this is a very a must-have program for the county, but I would like to propose a substitute motion that would reimburse the Children's Foundation in an amount not to exceed what the fee would have brought in, but on a reimbursement basis between now and the end of this fiscal year for the county, and then revisit the fee and how we pay for this in the budget process. And I would move that.
We have a motion.
No,
we have a second. I guess point of clarification, which bucket of gold are we going to take it out of?
The unencumbered fund balance.
All right. John, you want to comment?
Well, certainly the board has the authority to adopt, approve an emergency appropriation, as Member Seltzer has suggested, that would cover the expenses through the end of the year. I guess the only thing that I would like to point out to the board is, as all of you know, we're in the throes right now of preparing a recommended budget, which we will bring for your consideration at next month's meeting. And a number of members have suggested that, you know, let's have the general fund pick up this expense. Let the general fund pick up $80,000. We're currently looking at a deficit in the general fund just based on the requests that have been submitted by all of the departments and offices, elected offices in the general fund, that's well in excess of $1 million. And that doesn't include the new position request. That's just simply operating request. Part of that is driven by the fact that we are seeing, and we have seen, and those of you that are on the Finance Committee see it every month, dramatic drop in sales tax revenue, which is the second largest revenue source in the general fund after the property tax. We're projecting right now that sales tax revenue in fiscal year 2008 will end the year below the appropriated amount in the budget, and fiscal year 2009 sales tax revenue will be lower than 2008 based on information that we've received from the treasurer's office and looking at reports from the state of Illinois. Clearly, that is a result of the economic situation. All of us understand that. All of us see it in our own lives, and it certainly affects the county. We will likely be looking at a general fund property tax rate that will be at or near the statutory maximum permitted under Illinois law, which is 25 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. The only point I'm making is there are always trade-offs in the budget process, and certainly if this board decides that they want this program funded out of the general fund, you know, we can do everything possible, you know, to make that happen in fiscal year 2009. But there will also be other county services, other county programs that may have to be scaled back in order to add something into a budget which is already very, very tight. We are, you know, again at the beginning of another cycle that we see in local government, where we've come off a cycle where we saw a lot of growth in revenue, and now we're beginning to see that slow down. So I think it's important to understand that if you're looking at a permanent source of funding, and if you want the general fund to be that source, you know, we can do that, but there are other decisions that the oversight committees will need to make. Certainly in terms of funding the program between now and the end of the year with an emergency appropriation, that's certainly doable. I mean, there are certainly sufficient funds available in the fund balance to do that. That's a policy decision that this board needs to make. Thank you.
Member Gordon, speaking to the substitute motion, Member Gordon.
If the annual total projected by the $8 fee increase is $80,760, then for October, November, December, the total we're talking about out of the unencumbered balance, unencumbered fund balance, would be $20,190, one quarter of that amount for 3 months, October, November, December.
I tend to agree. I would feel better if we were talking about a fixed certain dollar figure as opposed to an amount not to exceed what they would have maybe collected in fees. Yeah.
Well, the operating budget for 30 hours a week is $79,285. I'm looking at page 88 of our packet. The operating budget for 30 hours a week is $79,285. So if you divide that by, if you take a quarter of that for October, November, December, it's a little under $20,000.
So are you amending the substitute motion?
No. This is simply for clarification about what amount we may be talking about as far as taking dollars out of the general fund.
Just
a
point of reference, the substitute motion was not predicated on the budget for the center. The motion was predicated on the likely collection of the fee.
Okay.
So.
My figures may be a little, This is for reference only, and I appreciate that correction. Thank you.
Member Sullivan.
Mr. Chairman, I would just offer after hearing what Mr. Zunick said that while I don't necessarily change my stance on it, it gets back to what we talked about when we, whatever that other ordinance was, where everyone thought it said something, but it said something different. If we want to put a provision in this existing ordinance, you know, if the board feels that if this is the only, if the center's going to close and we have to keep it open, and there's some agreement that when push comes to shove in a month or 2 months when we know for sure that the fee's the way to go, then we just need to put some kind of a provision in this existing ordinance that states what claims to be stated in the minutes but doesn't, and that is either if the grant's approved, the fee's repaid or back to the county, or it ceases to exist at such time. I think there's an ethical issue too of accepting the grant for $150,000 if in fact you've already received $20,000 of it in fees. Do we then return part of that grant and keep the fees? I mean, there just has to be some provision rather than the handshake that says, yeah, if we get the grant, we're going to go ahead and stop the fee, because That's what I said on justice when we agreed to do that with the law library, and I supported keeping that fee, but nonetheless, that was a fee that we raised and never reverted either, so I'm open to anything.
Member Cavallini.
Based upon Mr. Zunick's comments, it seems to me like we are at that point where we're between a rock and a hard place. And I kind of look at this right now as taking a multiple choice test. And there is no one correct answer, but maybe a best answer. And at this point, and as I try to think this through and having heard of, I think, both sides of this issue, I have this feeling that the sentiment here is that most of us support certainly the work that this organization is doing and the need for the service. The question is, how do we best fund it? In light of Mr. Zunick's comments, I don't believe I can support this amended motion.
Thank you. Mr. Wendt.
Yes, I think what we could do is go ahead and include that $20,000 into his amendment with the caveat with that is that we would advance that money to this organization with the understanding if they got the grant, they would return the money to the county. that way we get make sure it stays open for the next 3 months. If they get the grant, we get the money back. We haven't bothered the fee system. Then at that time, we can determine whether we want the general public, all of us, to share in this cost, or we want to hit the people that are using the courts to handle the problem. Now, personally, I think it's, if we decide that the county should be in this business, it should be spread evenly among all the residents of the county or taxpayers.
Okay. Member Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, I want to point out that we may be making an assumption that is that has a little risk in it. It may be more hope than reality that the federal budget, the Department of Justice budget, will be approved by January 1 of 09. It could go well past 3 months. In general, I mentioned the federal budget process because it's part of the reality we're dealing with too. But I don't want to be taken literally. That 3 months is a sure thing, because it is anything but.
Member Wendt.
Can't we, in January, if the federal money hasn't come in, we can appropriate some more money for them until they, I know they're probably not going to do these appropriations until after the new president takes office, and depending on which party wins, because I understand that's what they're going to do. So we could go month by month until whoever decides that they're going to appropriate the money. We could still be on the same thing, making sure that this organization has enough money to carry forward. But yet we aren't stuck with already doing a fee thing. And we're not totally committed to that system until we find out for sure whether they get the federal grant.
Thank you. Well, I like to believe that the county board is all powerful. I have to admit that we have limited resources, and we must keep that in mind. Member Butler.
Well, the question of where to take the money from is always a challenge, because no tax is fair to everybody. You know, I'm not going to be using that organization, and most of us here are not either. But if we tie them to a fee, then they know what their income is month to month, and they have to live within that income, or they have to reach into their own pocket a bit. And as a charitable nonprofit organization, I think we can rely on them to probably provide a little bit more than the 30 hours of service, because to manage 34, whatever that number of hours is, to manage and contain it to an exact number of hours on their part is difficult, if not impossible. They are going to service people who come to them with a need. If we are throwing or putting in money from a known source and not an open-ended or even a closed-ended, okay, we go to the budget, the general fund now, and 3 months from now we have to go back to the general fund, and they're going to come and say, you know what, we've been operating on this $20,000 and we discovered it really should have been 30. And yet if we have the fee, then they have to work inside that fee and then provide the service that they deem that fee covers, plus whatever else they want to take out of their unencumbered surplus.
Member Renner.
Just to, again, to clarify, in local government, particularly in Illinois, and particularly when we are a county that's not home rule, we don't have attractive revenue options. They all stink. And they're all, again, we're the poor bastard stepchild of the federal system. So we don't really have anybody else to mandate. We can't pass our costs on. Tire hits the pavement at local government, so we have to decide if this, we want to do this for our community, and if so, then how do we fund it? And it, again, there's no great revenue stream here. There are inequities and there are problems that we've all dealt with. And it's a frustration with local government, frankly.
Okay, Member Segoviano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to Mr. Zunick's comments, you know, and I think everybody on this board has been here at any time at all, has applauded John and his effort and his staff as well in regards to keeping this county in the black. And each year we pass a budget that is presented to us by John with very little discussion because we have faith and confidence in what he's doing. And based on what John just said, you know, where the money's coming from, and how, you know, it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we're going to get ourselves in that situation. We're talking about the health and well-being of some children, you know. Well, if we're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, are we going to take money from the Sheriff's Department who protects our society and also out here to protect these children? You know, what about our Treasurer's Office, you know, who has to collect the taxes and make sure that schools and whatever is operating on a pro. So I think we're getting in a situation here where we're going to take from one and give the other, and I don't know whether I can do that or not. And there again, going back to, you know, if we have to rob Peter to pay Paul, as John indicated, I'd like for them to know and tell us exactly what is their intentions for the, you know, fund balance in those three accounts. I mean, is it there until September? You know, this closing, and I think Mr. Sulzer said it quite well, it's not our decision to close it, it's their decision, and I think they have to base that decision looking upon their fund balances. So are we going to get into that game of robbing Peter to pay Paul? And if we do, where does it end?
Member Knuckles.
I was going to make a comment, but go ahead and pass on me. Good. Thank you for.
Member Moss.
If I were involved with the Children's Foundation and I was sitting here considering the possibility that I was going to be offered a Band-Aid approach to fund this vital program, I would be cringing right now. Seems to me the simple solution is to approve the ordinance as presented, and I don't have a problem doing that.
Member Selzer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say one thing. As I've said before, this is the right thing for us to do to make sure this stays open. But I guess maybe I'm just in the minority, because I sure would like to know why we can ask for a grant for $150,000 and but say we can do it on $80,000. The point I'm trying to get at is we're cutting back, we're doing this. If we're cutting back and that's acceptable and it can be worked within those limits, why did we ever ask for $150,000 to begin with? Because contrary to what some of us may or may not believe, this is all tax money. It's all our money. I don't care if the county gives it, the state gives it, or the federal government. I have no problem, as I've said before, with approving the $8 fee even. But here we are again, we're going to approve an ordinance where what the minutes say is not reflected in the ordinance, because the minutes indicate, as was so well pointed out, that if this money is, if the grant is received, that all bets are off. Well, put it in the ordinance then. Don't just approve it blindly. And if they need $150,000, then why are we limiting the fee? I mean, do we need? If that's a statutory limit, then...
Yeah,
then
it's a statutory limit, and right. They went back...
I understand that.
Right, they went back, and they said, hey, you know, we said...
But just do what we're going to say, or say what we're going to do.
The absolute, if this is all you get, what can you do? And
right.
So they reconfigured and pared back hours and gave us, in effect, the bare bones. And that's the answer.
Right,
that
so just all I want us to do is to put in there what we want to do.
Gentlemen.
That's
Peggy Ann Milton's having a hard time. Her fingers can't hardly keep up.
That's all right.
She's okay when just two or three of you are speaking at the same time, but when you get to four and five, it's a little out of control.
Sorry, Peggy.
All right, I'm gonna ask that we limit
closing,
conversation.
Mr. Chairman, if you would, I would just be happy to withdraw the substitute motion if the seconder wants to, if we're willing to look at putting something in here that at least states that the fee is going to have a limit if a grant's approved.
Okay, Member Harding, and then our diligent state's attorney has actually been working on language to do just that during this discussion. Member Harding.
If we remove that, I don't have much to say, but at first I did
agree with Dave. And then when John gave us the reality check, it's again the Peter Paul. Peter's going to evaporate completely. We're not going to have Peter to go to. I don't think as long as I've been here have I had a judge come before us so impassioned. I have never had an item come three times before us with such vigor and passion, and the work that we have tied these people up with trying to get us to see what they need. And we're relatively intelligent people, and we are passionate people also. We see it, we get it. And I think we just really need to look to Beth, Rob, and to the other judges and to the folks at the center who keep coming back to us trying to get us to understand they don't want to close the doors. They can't keep them open. There's no money. It's not a decision, do we want to? They simply cannot. If they thought they could keep it open, they wouldn't keep doing this work, coming back with more documentation to us. We're just tying them up so much their time when they need to be doing the good work that they do. So if Member Selzer is going to remove his motion, and we can vote on the original motion to keep the doors open, I hope that we'll. I hope we'll do
all
that.
Right. Just to clarify, Member Selzer, have you withdrawn your substitute motion?
If it's final with the seconder, I would.
Mr. Wendt?
Well, I would like to say something before that. In your comment about allowing Peter to pay Paul, if we use the general fund. So what we're going to do is rob Joe Smith.
Mr. Wendt, can you turn on your microphone, please?
Going to do, using the same example here with the general, not using the general fund. So what we're going to go to is robbing John out here that's going to do a filing fee to get the money to fund it rather than do it out of the general. So, I mean, you're getting the money from somebody. You're either getting it from the general fund or you're taking it from somebody out here in the community as an additional tax. So I think, you know, you got to look at it that way. And I hesitate to remove my second because I would like to see a vote on that.
All right. I will call the question on the substitute motion. Is there an objection to calling the question? None heard. All those in favor of the substitute motion, which is to support the substitute motion made by Seltzer, seconded by Wendt, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
The substitute motion fails. We are back to the original motion, which is as presented in the packet. There was discussion regarding interest in a possible amendment to that, and I think that we've worked up language on that possible amendment. With leave of the board, I'm going to ask that John present that.
On page 83, following language, if acceptable, could be inserted as paragraph 7. Language would read as follows. In the event that federal grant funding for federal fiscal year, for the federal fiscal year beginning October 1, 2008, is approved for the Family Visitation Center, then the county board shall immediately consider rescinding this ordinance. Period.
Member Gordon moves the amendment as read into the record, seconded by Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion on the amendment, I guess? Member Knuckles.
That would be something that I would be in approval of, and I like the word consider.
Okay.
I think that's a good word to use.
Consider. Other discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. No. Discussion on, we have one no. Discussion on the now amended motion. None heard. All of those in favor of the amended motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Recorded. Well, Chairman Renner, I hope you're proud of yourself.
Well, I am proud that we have no other items.
Are there any questions for Chairman Renner?
Our general report is found on pages 89 to 105. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, and thank Judge Robb, too, for your work.
Thank you, Judge, for joining us today.
Thanks.
Next time we'll have a chair for you. Questions, comments, or discussion of the Justice Committee? Land Use and Development Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Land Use and Development Committee brings no items for action to the board this morning. Our general report is found on pages 107 and 108 in our packets.
Thank you. Any questions of Chairman Gordon? Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
Mr. Chairman, we bring no action items to the board this morning. Our general report's on 109 through 115.
Questions of Chairman Bostic. Transportation Committee, Chairman Hosselton.
Mr. Chairman, transportation has no items to be presented. Our general information can be found on 116 and 121.
Thank you, Chairman Hosselton. Any questions for the Transportation Committee?
I have one question about, not necessarily in the Transportation Committee, but about Chairman Hosselton. All that discussion we just had, he was unusually quiet. And that's not like him, so I just want to make a note of that.
He was taking a nap.
Finance Committee, Chairman Selzer.
We have no, I'm sorry, we do. I like those other answers a lot better. We have three items to bring before the board this morning. The first is request approval of an emergency appropriation ordinance amending the McLean County Fiscal Year 2008 Combined Annual Appropriation and Budget Ordinance in the Collector's Automation Fund in the County Treasurer's Office, and I would move that.
We have a motion, Selzer. Second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
The next item is actually item C that I will take. We won't go into executive session unless anybody has any questions relative to the packet they received. If not, then I would request approval of a resolution authorizing the Director of Court Services to offer a salary above the starting maximum, and I would so move it.
We have a motion, Selzer. Second, Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our general report's on page 125. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Chairman Selzer? None heard. Report of the County Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to offer this morning. I'd be happy to answer any questions any members might have.
Any questions for Mr. Zunick? We have other business and items. Actually, are there other business or communications for the board? Member Koskis.
As some people know, I sit on the CVB board, the Convention and Visitors Bureau board, and it was mentioned to us at our last meeting about a ghost tour. I did go on it in downtown Bloomington, just so people know. It's always good for people throughout the county to understand what's going on, but they have ghost tours at 8:30 on Friday evenings. They meet in downtown at Abe 66 next to Reality Bites. It's a very interesting historical lesson. And I recommend it, wearing comfortable shoes. It's about 2.5 hours long. So I'm passing that information along.
Great, thank you. Other business or communications? I will announce that as of this morning, I'm in receipt of a letter from Vice Chairman Selzer resigning his position as Vice Chairman and his seat on this board effective August 30th, 2008. I will take this opportunity to thank Dave for his service to this board and to this community. Appreciate it. Dave, do you want to say anything?
It's been fun. Don't be afraid to ask tough questions. Thanks.
I will announce at the September Executive Committee meeting the timetable and the sequence of events for replacing Mr. Selzer on the board. It looks to me like there'll probably be a special election for Vice Chairman at the September board meeting. Any other business for this board? Member Knuckles?
I want to take this opportunity to I think this is Member Selzer. Is this your last meeting, sir?
Yes.
I want to make note and just make it put on record that Member Selzer has been a mentor. He's been a friend through some elections. He has helped me, and he does ask tough questions, and he has been a proven example for all of us to follow, and he will be certainly missed. Thank you, David.
Member Butler.
Dave, I charge you with going over to Champaign County.
I think that's where you're going, isn't it?
Yeah.
And straighten them out.
Well, and I charge you, Mr. Butler, with taking care of Stan's microphone while I'm gone.
All right, enough of this mamby-pamby well-wishing. We have bills to pay. We have bills totaling $7,264,388.48. Is there a motion to approve the bills? Motion Cavallini, second Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned until September 16th, 2008. Liquor. Thank you. I will announce the Liquor Commission will meet right up here as soon as we can convene.